Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
BB Netanyahu has to deal with so much in his 48 hours here in the United States of America as it is bubbled up and it is boiled over. Also, the media and the government with the gumption to say that Donald Trump was in fact not shot by a bullet and it was shrapnel, even though that's been dispelled. Christopher Wray of the FBI, Newsweek, everybody running with that. We'll get to that. Also, a PA whistleblower and the concept of drones being rejected. We'll hit on that this morning. Joe's doctor, he doubles down. And an Ohio Supreme Court ruling on a subject you probably didn't anticipate we would discuss. We'll get to that this morning. Navy SEALs and COVID, a stacked cut sheet, and Sean Farish coming up at 8:30. But before we get to all of that, let's get to, well, actually, no, it's not the news. We're going to go to a big take a little earlier than normal here at 6:07 on this Friday morning.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the big take bubbling up and boiling over in BB's presence. If Donald Trump was the president of the United States of America, the war in the Middle East between Israel and Hamas would have ended by now. I firmly believe that. In fact, what occurred on October 7th, 2023, likely would not have happened under Donald Trump's watch, in my humble opinion. As Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu concluded his business in our country yesterday, we once again saw the uncanny level of anti-Semitism on display for a second straight day in our nation's capital. And if you look at the calendar, we are now approaching 10 months since those barbaric acts of savagery were perpetrated on innocent Israeli citizens, including babies, women, and animals, with no end in sight. Hostages still unaccounted for. Colleges will be starting up again in just a few weeks, and you can bet that these protests on campus will escalate once again. And then we will arrive at the one-year anniversary, October 7th, 2024. And I have zero confidence that Joe Biden on his way out or Kamala Harris possibly on her way in will have peace in place. And as I've said many times on this show, I hope this crisis ends up being a major reason for why Democrats lose the election on November 5th. The divide within the Democrat Party is palpable over one simple issue of good versus evil. But for that to cost them the election, it would require some, if not many, lifelong Jewish Democrats in this country to vote Republican and back Donald Trump, the man who gave you the Abraham Accords. Let's go back to May 10th, when Donald J. Trump joined Kale and Company, and I asked him specifically how any Jewish Democrat can continue to vote blue. Here was his response. Listen and watch.
I say it all the time. If anybody that's Jewish votes for him or Democrats, they have to have their head examined. They are being treated so badly and have been for years. Don't forget the Iran nuclear deal. Israel begged them not to do that deal. I ended it, but they begged them. And unfortunately, the Democrats did nothing with it after the election was rigged, and they did nothing about it. But we would have had that whole thing worked out. But it is just amazing that a person who happens to be Jewish can be voting for this guy doesn't make sense to me at all. A lot of things don't make sense having to do with what they're doing, from the border to all of the to men playing in women's sports. I mean, the world is like a cuckoo's nest right now with what they do.
In a very tight race in swing states across the country, the mere fact that some, even just a moderate amount of lifelong Democratic Jews flipping and voting red could very well decide this election. And what we saw yesterday and Wednesday at Union Station in our nation's capital was disgusting. We've seen the American flag desecrated, soaked in lighter fluid, lit on fire. Three other American flags taken down and raised in its place, the Palestinian flag, here in the United States of America. Donald Trump was on Fox and Friends Thursday morning, and he proposed this punishment if you destroy Old Glory. Listen and watch.
Rarely have we seen anything like this, and I think you should get a one-year jail sentence if you do anything to desecrate the American flag. Now, people will say, oh, it's unconstitutional. Those are stupid people. Those are stupid people that say that. We have to work in Congress to get a one-year jail sentence. When they're allowed to stomp on the flag and put lighter fluid on the flag and set it afire, and when you're allowed to do that, you get a one-year jail sentence, and you'll never see it again. And all over the world, Putin and President Xi of China, all over the world, they're watching this. Kim Jong-un, he looks at us like we're a bunch of babies. They see that. That wouldn't happen in their country. So it would. It's impossible for that to happen in their country. Where we have, we look so bad to the world. That was a disgraceful display yesterday.
We mentioned the landmark SCOTUS case in 1989 yesterday on the show that determined the destruction of the American flag to be an act, sadly, of free speech. But Republicans not happy about what has happened this week in Washington, D.C. GOP Rep. Carlos Jimenez saying, quote, what happened yesterday is not free speech, it is free hate. The Florida Republican went on to say, quote, this lies squarely on the shoulders of those in power who have failed to act. Since October 7th, the Biden administration and woke university administrators across America have refused to take action and shut down these pro-Hamas, anti-Semitic riots, end quote. And speaking of the Biden administration, Kamala Harris, on Wednesday, who was too busy for Bibi as she attended an Indianapolis sorority, but did go on to have a closed-door meeting with Netanyahu on Thursday. Prior to that, she carved out enough time for America by basically saying the following in a letter that she posted on X. Quote, yesterday at Union Station, we saw despicable acts by unpatriotic protesters and dangerous hate-fueled rhetoric. I condemn any individuals associating with the brutal terrorist organization Hamas, which has vowed to annihilate the state of Israel and kill Jews. Pro-Hamas graffiti and rhetoric is abhorrent, and we must not tolerate it in our nation. I condemn the burning of the flag. It should never be desecrated in that way, end quote. Well, I wonder what her husband, Doug Emhoff, thinks. After all, he's Jewish. Should make for interesting chatter at the dinner table, right? And Joy Reid, where are you? Aren't you the leader of the Trump is Hitler sycophant club? Seems like your party, the far left faction of the party, and these moronic protesters are showing true signs of Adolf. You have paid professional protesters. You have uninformed Gen Z LGBTQ college kids. And of course, you have the backing from Iran. When the Middle East is to be discussed, the binder, she heads to the bench. And the Biden administration brings out the more competent John Kirby. Even though his messages tend to miss the mark, here he was yesterday talking about the financial backing from Iran. Listen and watch.
We've said ourselves, the director of national intelligence came out publicly and said that we do know that Iran has been funding and encouraging some of the protest activity here in the United States. Some of it. We do not believe that all the protest activity out there on a daily basis is being fully funded by Iran. There's a lot of organic concern out there in the American people about what's going on in the Middle East, and most of these protests are formed and fashioned in that regard.
Keep in mind that this current administration has bankrolled the Iranian regime. And as anti-Semitism is once again front and center, major concern from one of the top Jewish groups in America. Quote, if you thought Joe Biden was bad on issues of top concern for pro-Israel voters, Kamala Harris is far worse. That quote from Sam Markstein, Republican Jewish Coalition National Political Director, telling Fox News. Sam went on to say a little bit more. Quote, it took her a full day to issue a weak condemnation of the pro-Hamas mobs that burned American flags and chanted vile anti-Semitic slogans at Jews in Washington, D.C., with zero mention of any concrete action that she would take to hold them accountable. it should be easy to condemn anti-Semitism. The real question is what she will do to confront it, and her statement speaks for itself, Markstein added. Clearly, her priorities are not our priorities, and if elected, we can expect more of the same, end quote. So what Trump could deliver is what Netanyahu wants, and the two will meet today in Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Here's my favorite Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana recapping yesterday and what needs to be finalized in the Middle East. Listen and watch.
Well, there were some things that went on in the gallery that were disgraceful, but Prime Minister Netanyahu gave an exceptionally powerful speech. In a nice way, he told President Biden to stop pulling the rug out from under Israel and let Israel win.
You give Donald Trump 4 weeks, I bet this ceasefire is finalized and peace is restored in the Middle East. And if Trump could implement a one-year jail sentence through Congress for destroying our flag, those little cowards will stand down. Trust me, they won't burn a flag if they know they're going to spend the next 365 days behind bars. So the question is very simple. Jewish America, Democratic Jews, what nation do you want to live in? Because if you vote for Kamala Harris, you'll see the American flag on fire and very little resistance by your elected leaders. And if you vote for Kamala Harris, you're going to get optics. You're going to get closed door meetings. You'll get the prepared statement by one of her staffers on social media. But you're not going to get action. But that's your decision to make, not mine. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning. If you want to jump in, thoughts and reaction, you can certainly do so. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT and, of course, in the YouTube chat. We like to call it the Kale and Company comment community. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll get some thoughts to what we've seen over the last 2 days here as the Israeli-Hamas conflict escalates once again. And then also just some absurd commentary and media coverage from FBI Director Christopher Wray, as well as Newsweek, when it pertains to Donald Trump and whether or not he really was hit by that bullet. We'll get to that as we continue here in the 6 o'clock hour. It is Kale and Company on a Friday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
You know, I was watching a little bit of Netanyahu yesterday and Joe Biden. And of course, you had that little, the facade at the end, which has become all too familiar for Americans, where the media starts to ask, 14 questions. They're all fighting over each other, shouting with their little handheld recorders. And Joe just sits there with that smile on his face like, I can't hear you. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know where I am. But oh, by the way, I know you want me to speak and I'm not going to offer you anything. And I was thinking about this because, Greg, you were really ticked off yesterday with what you saw again in this country with the anti-Semitic hatred and rhetoric. You know what really steams me up? And look, I am what I am. I get ripped on this show for being 40 going on 80, but I'm authentic. Okay. So if something is popular, I don't necessarily just jump on it because everybody else is doing it. I'm perfectly content watching Married with Children. By the way, my wife introduced me last night to a Netflix series that's 5 years old called Stranger Things. I'm sure you've seen that. You've probably watched four or five seasons.
Everybody has seen it, dude.
So I watched season one, episode one and two last night.
It's called Seinfeld.
So, I get it. Like, there are things that I'm behind on that a lot of people are on, but, I'm not a fraud. I don't jump on bandwagons just because it's the trendy thing to do. But what has become absolutely apparent to me is that these protests have become the trendy new fad.
Yeah.
And what steams me up about it is you have so many people there that are either oblivious to what they're protesting, they don't understand the backdrop and the context and the history of what has been going on in the Middle East since the beginning of time, the beginning of civilization. generation, much less going back to the 50s and 60s when things really took a different twist during a different administration. So you have these people out there, and they just want to be a part of the scene. It's the cool thing. I want to go out there. I want to chant from the river to the sea. I want to have a stupid sign, and I want to pull out my smartphone, and I want to record it, and I want to post it on TikTok or Instagram Live or Facebook, and I want to have a viral moment in my name. That's the kind of stuff that drives me nuts, almost as much as the real life issues that are going on here, where of the 255 hostages that were pulled down into a dark cave in Gaza underground, there's only been 130 of which that have either been rescued or sadly have come back not the way they were when they entered. We still have over 100 plus people not accounted for.
Yeah, look, protests are not a new thing in this country.
Of course not.
You know, we've protested, and that's what makes this country different from any other country in the world, is that we have the right and we have the ability to do so without being, you know, shot and killed. That being said, I feel like we have more youth these days that are just easily manipulated by social media and what they're seeing, and just lies.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really know what they're protesting. They don't really know the history of the Middle East. Not that I do, but it's you're right. It's a trendy thing to do that they see their friends doing on TikTok, and it becomes the talking point to make you sound like you're smart,
yeah,
or you're
enlightened
and you know what you're doing and you care about human rights and all this stuff. So it's just, you're right, it basically is a TikTok trend.
It's
basically what it is. Nobody stands for anything. Nobody knows. They would flip on a dime if it meant, you know, being with their peers.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you.
Yeah, it's so frustrating to watch, and you see it on a daily basis. And I hate using the word because I think DeSantis ruined it for everybody. But that's the woke generation. See, yes. I'm wise beyond my years. I'm 21 years old and I've got it all figured out, and I know the righteous cause and the right side of history. And there's only one way to look at this. You have good, you have evil. You have an overwhelming majority of Palestinians that support Hamas. And it's interesting. You look at Hamas and it's like a terrorist organization meets a government. And I don't know what the percentage is. I don't know if it's 88% or 97%, but an overwhelming majority of those individuals believe in the cause that Hamas is fighting, and that is twofold. That is to eliminate the earth of Jews and destroy Western civilization. They don't like Jews. They don't like Christians. They don't like Americans. They don't approve of the way we live our lives. So, oh, by the way, for all of those little Gen Z whippersnappers out there that love all their advanced technology and all their Stanleys and their Starbucks and all the other nonsense, by the way, those people that you're supporting, take all of that over to that portion of the world and see if that flies over there.
Exactly.
Especially the LGBT community. That's the thing. I'm aware that they would cut my head off. Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, then here, board a flight. I think Southwest just got rid of open seating. You'll get an assigned seat. We'll drop you off somewhere over in Asia. I don't think you can get a direct flight over there these days because of all the conflict going on. And then you can make the trek to Gaza. And you can advocate for them, and they'll sit there and they'll nod their head in approval, and they'll say thank you in their language, and then they'll put your head over a tree and cut it off with a Ginsu knife. Losers.
It's frustrating to me because they're, you know, I sound like a broken record. I've been saying this since October 8th. There's clearly two sides in this. There's the right side and the wrong side, and I hate, you know, everything can be broken down in like good versus evil, this versus that, blue versus red. Most of the time, there's a lot of gray area with this. With this situation in the Middle East, there's not a gray area.
No.
There's just not.
Nope.
There is one side that is right, and there is one side that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the one side that is wrong needs to be wiped off the face of the earth.
Yep.
And there's no appeasing that. They're not going to stop. They're not going to say, well, ceasefire here, and we're going to... No. Until all these hostages come home, we're going to blow you back to the Stone Age.
Mm-hmm.
So you either release them or, like, that's the only way these animals will surrender or whatever, you know, whatever. They only respond to violence.
That's correct. And look, the reality is you're not dealing with, if you're the United States or Israel, you're not dealing with superpowers like China. You're not dealing with Russia. You're not dealing directly with Iran, or certainly not with North Korea.
Yeah.
And I'm aware of some of the intricate layers and the levels to which these savages operate. You've got these complex tunnels underground. It's a different type of tactical warfare. It's not just tanks and airplanes and fighter jets and things like that. But, I mean, seriously, this is, they are, if you're looking and comparing Hamas to some of the other global military operations, you could coin this group a ragtag operation. And the fact that we are still 10 months into this almost, the fact that we haven't obliterated these scumbags just goes to show you how weak our leadership is. And you've got a guy like Netanyahu who is coming over here and basically asking and saying what Trump alluded to in the two clips I played for you. And that brings me back to Trump for a moment, and then we're going to get to the FBI here and Christopher Wray in just a moment. You know, Trump was able to crush ISIS very quickly. He struck the Abraham Accords. We had peace in the Middle East. And even if October 7th, 2023 would have happened in a Trump second term, do you think on July 26th, we are still in the same predicament we are if Trump was in office? Highly, highly doubt it. 855-839-1210 if you would like to jump in. And speaking of Trump, let's get to Christopher Wray and Newsweek. Newsweek putting out a big, big spread on social media following the director of the FBI's testimony on Wednesday, where Wray says that Donald Trump might not have been hit by a bullet. And this is fresh after White House physician. By the way, Ronnie Jackson served under both Obama and Trump as the White House physician. After Ronnie Jackson put out a medical diagnosis, a medical letter that said Donald Trump was less than a quarter of an inch from entering death. Donald Trump was less than a quarter of an inch from having that bullet enter his head, which struck him on the top of his right ear. Christopher Wray, as we know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday on the show. He was grilled on Wednesday when he testified before the House Judiciary Committee that he's still not certain that Trump's injury was caused by a bullet or if it was caused by shrapnel.
What does it matter?
And that's my point. You know, and I'm going to give you some of the details here of the debunking of the shrapnel with the teleprompters and the glass. But could you imagine, just imagine if anybody on this station, anybody in any other type of free speech, conservative, alt-news media was saying, I don't know that Joe Biden was hit by that bullet. It could have been debris. It could have been shrapnel. It could have been glass. It could have been a piece of wood from a podium. Could you imagine the way the mainstream media would be treating those individuals that dared to sit there and say, are we really sure that it was a bullet? And much less a Republican politician. I mean, Democrats in the House, in the Senate, in the White, they would all be losing their ever-loving mind. Oh, Republicans, they are conspiracy theorists. They promote violence. To your point, what does it matter? Whether, I mean, is it, there, it doesn't change the fact that he was an inch or so away from being killed.
Yes.
It's the act of assassination that is abhorrent.
By the way, there's a mainstream media news outlet, I don't know if it was the AP or somebody, took the picture of him on stage with the bullet whizzing by his head. You can see the bullet whizzing by his head.
Yes.
Who cares if it was the bullet or if it was shrapnel?
Right.
It still doesn't change the fact that he was almost an inch from death.
That's correct.
Literally an inch.
That's correct. And let's play along with their game for just a moment. Let's just say that it was some sort of other material that clipped his ear, that caused the ear, which we now know is one part of the body that will bleed more than any other part. The ear is very sensitive. In the world of politics, what do you do if you're trying to gain sympathy, make the other side look bad? You play it up. You embrace it. So let's just say, let's just for the sake of argument, let's play their little game that it was shrapnel. You know what? I'm going to milk that and take that all the way to the election.
Look what I did with my ankle.
Yes. You didn't even ride the bike. You walked around here with fake makeup and fake bruises on your ankle. You had Dawn convinced.
I did.
You had everybody convinced.
Everybody.
And then the next day, you looked fine. I kid. But, like, I mean, that's what you would have to do. But, again, that's not the case. And I want to point this out. The Daily Mail, quote, I don't know right now whether that bullet, in addition to causing the grazing, could have landed somewhere else. That is a quote from Christopher Wray. Quote, Donald Trump, when I went down, bullets were coming over my head and you hear them. It's like a zip zip, he said. I'm supposed to be dead. The most incredible thing was that I not only happened to turn, but to turn at the exact right time and in just the right amount, he added, saying he survived by either luck or by God. Do you believe that Trump was struck by a bullet? Well, the teleprompter theory, and Sean Farish mentioned this yesterday when he was with us as Donald Trump, and he'll be with us again here this morning at 8:30. The teleprompter theory, however, has been debunked when photos have showed and confirmed that both glass screens were intact after the attack. So, okay, if those teleprompters are still intact, nothing has changed, no damage, not even a little piece on the edge of the prompter in the top left corner has been hit by a bullet. Where did the other shrapnel or glass come from? Because Donald Trump was standing up there. He didn't have any glass in front of him in the podium. He had prompters and he had open air and open space.
This is absolutely ridiculous. And this is them trying to get us away from the story of what the hell happened on July 13th. Mm-hmm. That's all this is. And I'm assuming, Nick, that this Christopher Wray didn't just bring this up. Somebody asked him about this.
Yeah, that was brought up by a former FBI service agent. I think her name is Nicole. I have it right here. Got so many different stories here in front of me with this story. I can't find her last name. Nicole. She's now an elected official.
Blah blah blah.
I'll find it for you though.
Nicole. Blah blah blah.
Yes, and he says this is Wray said he did not have that information beforehand. Saying, "quote As I said, I think with respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel. So it is conceivable, as I sit here right now, I don't know whether that bullet, in addition to, you know, causing the grazing, could have landed somewhere else. But I believe we've accounted for all of the shots that were discharged from that cartridge." Well, I'm not a forensics expert by any stretch, but they have people that can examine bullets, right, after they are discharged, whether they hit an object or a human being. They've recovered the firearm. Why have they not gone back and found out who those individuals were sitting behind Trump? And I'm talking beyond comparator and also the other individual that just came off of life support out of a medically induced coma and is in stable condition, as well as the other person that has gone home. And why are they not getting all of these details? And maybe they are, but as AOC, of all people, said, 60 days to get these answers in a report that half of America probably won't even read anyway because it's going to be too long for them to comprehend and spend the time to read 192 pages or whatever it is. It's just inexcusable. But you're right. This is a distraction. This is a distraction by the media and the left to get you off of your main focus point and get caught up in something else. And as we said, it really shouldn't matter whether or not he was hit by a bullet or something else. There was a 20-year-old that had no business getting that close to wiping out a former president.
I just, you know, people can, let me just say this again, like, people can die from, like, shrapnel. It's like if shrapnel pierces your heart or your head or something like that, you can die from shrapnel. So, so for them to like poo-poo it and say, "Well, it was just shrapnel."
Yep.
Like it's insanity. Mm-hmm. It's insanity, and it's such not the narrative that we should be focused on right now. The narrative we should be focused on is what happened, Who knew what when? Why did they let this happen? Did they let this happen? Mm-hmm. These are the questions that need to be asked, not whether it was a bullet or shrapnel. Who cares?
I agree. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in on the conversation, 855-839-1210. And then we have to get to a little bit more with the FBI and also what happened in Pennsylvania. Why was drone technology denied multiple times? And did you know, under Christopher Wray's watch with the FBI, they have a Trump questionnaire? We have to get into this revelation, which was very interesting, that I think has kind of gone under the radar from what we heard from Mr. Wray on Wednesday, because everybody's caught up in the Trump shooting specifically. But why the specific political vetting? We'll get to that on the other side. Kale and Company, as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour next here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
You know, you get these little pockets where people are proud to support the ride, and they know what's going on in certain neighborhoods, and they all line up. And there was, I think this is now the second straight year where we rode past. There was like a three-house stretch where there's like these water sprinklers and ladies standing there. And if you're riding close enough to their curb, to their property, you can kind of go through like you're on a bike. Well, you're obviously on a bike, but like you're in a car going through a car wash. So Dave Madden and I go shooting through real quick and kind of hose off a little bit as we're riding through the neighborhoods of wherever we were at that point in New Jersey. So, no, it's great. Great time by all. And obviously a big thank you to all the first responders, police, fire, emergency. I mean, the escort, there's only a very small stretch where you feel like you've been abandoned. For the most part of those 65 miles, I bet you about 60 of them.
Yeah.
You've got like, you feel like you're with, you have the Secret Service riding with you.
Yeah.
Except if, you know, you're not like Donald Trump and you have a bullet whizzing by your ear because the Secret Service can't do their job, which we'll get to again in a little bit. I do want to read what Trump posted on Truth following what Christopher Wray has said. Trump posting the following. FBI Director Christopher Wray told Congress yesterday that he wasn't sure if I was hit by shrapnel, glass, or a bullet. The FBI never even checked, but he was sure that Crooked Joe Biden was physically and cognitively uneventful. Wrong. That's why he knows nothing about the terrorists and the other criminals pouring into our country at record levels. His only focus is destroying January 6thers, raiding Mar-a-Lago, and saving radical left lunatics like the ones now in D.C. that are burning American flags and spray painting over our great national monuments with zero retribution. No, it was unfortunately a bullet that hit my ear and hit it hard. There was no glass. There was no shrapnel. The hospital called it a bullet wound to the ear, and that is what it was. No wonder the one-storied FBI has lost the confidence of America.
Jason on the YouTube chat wants to know, has anyone heard any updates on the offshore bank accounts of the young shooter? I believe I heard that on this show. I believe that the last thing I read about that was that it was the Steam account, right? Like the gaming thing.
Yeah.
And apparently that was not, that did not belong to him. That's the most I know on that update.
I hope people in a position of power continue to stay up on that, because we need to know exactly what is going on with those bank accounts. We want to know everything about that phone, encrypted, unlocked, the same thing with a laptop. And then we should want to know why something, and look, maybe I'm speaking ignorantly here. I don't own a drone. I've never flown a drone. I don't know what one costs. I know Mike Opelka likes to fly one over his golf course, over par threes. But I would imagine that the Secret Service probably has it in their budget to use drone technology. And a lot of whistleblowers in the last 14 days or so have come forward to Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri. And once again, another whistleblower, perhaps the same whistleblower, asking why the Secret Service did not use its own drones, yet a 20-year-old was able to do so a couple of hours beforehand from 200 yards out. I've got this letter directly from Josh Hawley's Twitter feed where he says, quote, according to one whistleblower, the night before the rally in Butler, U.S. Secret Service repeatedly denied offers from a local law enforcement partner to utilize drone technology to secure the rally. This means that the technology was both available to the United States Secret Service and able to be deployed to secure the site. Secret Service said no, and the local partner turned down the opportunity to deploy the drone technology to surveil the site in the aftermath of the attack. And actually, there have been people who own drones that have flown the drone over the rally site in the aftermath of what has happened. If you follow certain feeds on X, you can actually see the drone technology. I think I saw this from Benny Johnson yesterday as they posted the video, and you can see the drone flying over top of that blue water tower and then across where you would have seen the stage and then, of course, the stacks of buildings and, of course, the pitched roof. I remember it's not a sloped roof. It's a pitched roof. There's a difference, folks.
Yes.
And you can see all of that. So all the Secret Service, local authorities, as long as somebody would have said, you know what? Yeah, let's spend 35 minutes here. Let's fly the drone over on a Wednesday afternoon and get a better visual from above as to what we're dealing with here out in the open. Once again, another reason to believe that this could have been avoided. But again, when you don't dot your I's, you don't cross your T's, and you don't do all your due diligence, and you just take things for granted, or something more diabolical, things like this can end up happening. To which I said earlier this week, if I'm Donald Trump, there's no way I am going and doing rallies indoors for the rest of this campaign season. He feeds off the energy, it's a great setting, and you can't show that the lunatics have got the best of you. And I don't think he will do that. I'm not sure what the rally schedule looks like for the rest of the summer, but I would be shocked if they are all indoors in arenas from here until November 5th. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll come back and get to more, including why is the FBI posing questions in regards to whether or not you vocalize your support for Donald Trump and whether or not you vocalize your non-support for the COVID-19 vaccination. We'll continue with that as hour two is on the way here on a Friday morning. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.